This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's go to Anthea and see what's happening in your money. Here she is, Anthea Gardner with the Money Shot. All right. How are you, Anthea?
You're a little bit chilly this morning. Winter is upon us.
Yeah. Do you still do your swims in the winter?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I was cycling out at the Cradle yesterday and it was freezing.
But what time did you go?
One of those. 8 o'clock in the morning. I was on my bike. I was at the Cradle. There's no traffic at the Cradle. Give me a hard time, Ben Karpinski.
Well, you go for your cold swims, he goes for cold showers.
And why would anybody do that?
Well, you must ask him. He'll tell you in the next hour.
No, that's silly. I mean, come on.
No, really. You need to pay attention.
At least I'm getting fit by swimming.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not clogging traffic in the Cradle.
This is ugly.
So the JSE ended 4.5% lower in May, almost nowhere to hide.
I know, it was terrible. It really was just a story of emerging market risk off. So the US is growing exponentially. In fact, on Friday, we had the US non-farm payrolls number come out in, what is it, April. 223,000 jobs were created. I mean, Wall Street were expecting 190,000 jobs. So that just shows you they are powering. The U.S. economy is powering ahead. Needless to say, the U.S. dollar is stronger and everything else is just kind of falling by the wayside. It really is. When I say risk off, what that means is that people are running away from risky equities or shares into safe havens. And the safe havens are U.S. Treasuries, German Bunds, which were down, I think, 20 basis points in the
year. I've met a lot of people who say to me, the thing that's missing in their life is a German Bund.
Yeah. Okay, I got that. You're having a go so early in the morning. Also, gold and Japanese yen was where people were running to. But what they don't want is emerging market risk, and we're emerging markets.
Shit.
So they're selling us.
If the U.S. does well, it's a problem. For us right now.
It is, I'm afraid. And because we've spoken about
and we
this
thought
before.
Trump would fuck it up, but look at what's happening.
Yeah.
You know,
all right.
We
How
were
long
bargaining.
Has he been in power now?
He's been a year and a bit, year and a half.
That's interesting because it's exactly that. And so the average earnings.
Don't worry, we've still got another 2.5 years of him. So.
Oh, great.
We're good.
Can't wait. Average earnings was up as well, and unemployment, the lowest it's been since kind of. I don't know, the dot-com bubble, or pre-bubble, I should say, dot-com era. It's now at 3.8%.
Okay.
And that's phenomenal. That's basically more than full employment. Full employment, I think, is around 4.5%. It's considered to be 4.5%.
Wow.
So they really are
creating jobs. People have jobs in America.
And it's not just the lower-paying jobs. You know, it's jobs that are making money as well.
That's amazing.
And so while the U.S. is carrying on and the economy is going strong, I'm afraid in Europe, it's quite the other way around.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've seen this weekend, Spain, got a new prime minister.
Yes.
Yeah, Rajoy was replaced by, I don't know what his first name is, someone Sanchez. Everyone's comparing him to Antonio Banderas.
Why?
Because apparently he's good looking.
Oh, really?
Not my type.
President Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's have a
Spain.
Look. All right.
And in Italy, they had a kind of a, well, they started the week with the five-star anti-establishment party, who, by the way, is led by a 31-year-old, Luigi Di Maio, vying for power. And the problem with what would happen if they came into power is they're anti-euro, and so they would want potentially a snap election as soon as July. Which could turn into an Italy leaving the euro. So that was a big deal. But then later on in the week, we discovered a little statement in their constitution saying that they actually couldn't just leave. Italy couldn't just leave the euro. So kind of it all settled down again. But politics is a problem in Europe at the moment. Have you found a picture of...
Yes, his name is Pedro Sanchez Perez Castellón. He's a Spanish economist and politician. Well, economist is always a good sign, right? Uh-huh. And he's also Secretary General of the Spanish Socialist Workers' Party. Been holding office for the second time after winning a leadership election in June 2017. He is without a seat in the Congress of Deputies. Yeah, see what you
Good Lord, he is. Oh,
he can Pedro our Sanchez.
See us offering him a seat right on his left.
We approve.
Yes, okay. That smile.
That's a good looking older gentleman.
You can deliver bad economic updates, but as long as you keep smiling, Pedro.
So we'll be following Spanish elections now, shall we?
This is like Justin from Canada all over again.
Oh, God.
All right, bring it home.
Sorry.
We saw a little bit of a recovery.
What I like about this guy is he's an atheist. He's the first atheist prime minister in all of Europe.
Is he married?
Oh. That's interesting. I didn't know that about him.
All right, so carry on. Sorry.
All right, we're back at... Shall we talk about the Rand for a little bit?
Of course.
Are we all focusing again?
Yes, yeah. Right.
I was always here.
Thank you, Ben. So the Rand just, in my opinion, hasn't done as well as I would have expected to have done after the S&P left our credit rating unchanged and called our economy stable. In fact, it weakened because the US dollar is so much stronger through the week. You know, we're now, 1267 or 1270, somewhere around there. But then we did have some economic data that wasn't so good. So our trade balance for the first part of this year, January to April, printed a deficit of 17.65 billion rand.
We don't need that.
No, we don't. This is compared to last year, the same period, we had a surplus of 8.5 billion rand. And then also the Purchasing Managers Index was released, and it also came off a little bit, 49.8 compared to the previous 50.9. And I think, again, it's just talking to the fact that South Africa has structural economic issues that we need to deal with. There is no magic Ramaphosa wand, I'm afraid. And then globally, oil slipped to $75 a barrel during the week last week, also under pressure because OPEC and its allies are saying that they may pump more oil. Needless to say, they want to take advantage of the higher oil price. I don't know where these shale producers are at the moment, because you would have thought they'd come online and that they'd keep the oil price in check, but no. And unfortunately, this little retreat in the oil price hasn't helped us at all, because the AA, I'm sure you know by now, announced a petrol price increase, 5%.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about it earlier. Now, what is that because of what's going on in Iran? What's the story?
Yeah, because of the oil price, which hit $80 a barrel, and because of the weaker rand, basically. Yeah. And it's ugly, right? It's really not a good sign.
For the consumer. Really not good.
I don't think, even though the oil price has come back a little bit, I don't think you're going to see a decrease in the oil price the following month.
Well, the dangerous thing about the petrol price going up is that it affects the cost of everything, right? Everything goes up when the petrol price goes up.
Unfortunately, that's exactly right. So you think that it squeezes your wallet because you're putting petrol in every... whatever, week or 2 weeks, whatever it is. But actually, things that are being delivered, goods that are being delivered, your food, for example, is being transported using petrol. And so on top of the 1% VAT increase and inflation, we now have this.
All right, but if oil's come off the $80 a barrel, it could go back in the next month.
Yeah, it could go either.
Yeah, but you seldom see prices dropping. Like, once they're there.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the stuff that's put on the shelves. The petrol price may go up and down, but nobody else decreases their prices when petrol goes down. You're right, Ben. All right, company results?
Yeah. So before I get into the results, just to let you know that Steinhoff Africa Retail have decided to revert back to the Pepcor name.
I'll bet you, because anything with Steinhoff in it, didn't I say to you, is like poison?
I know, that's exactly. In fact, last week you said, why are they still keeping Steinhoff in the name? And they must have heard you.
I'm telling you, I'm available for consulting to all these stupid firms if they just pay attention.
All right. And then kind of the big ones we want to cover today. Spar, they reported... earnings growth of 14% year-on-year. Not a terrible result. South Africa's stronger growth than expected, which was very nice for a change. It was a bit of a story of cost containment and lower tax rate that they had achieved. So their tax previously was 26.2%. It's now 23.7%, which is great. And then also they're diversifying into pharmaceuticals. So they acquired a pharmaceutical business, paid 45 million rand for it. So small, but I think what you're going to see in Spa, and I haven't seen it yet, is potentially a Dis-Chem or a Clicks type of offering, you know, where you walk in, you buy your groceries, and you go to the pharmacy to get your medication. And in fact, this pharmaceutical business that they spoke about particularly did very well in the high-end script, so the expensive medication.
Hmm.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I imagine that that's where they're going. You know, Spa is currently trading on a 16.8 times earnings multiple. And if you compare that to like the other retailers, ShopRite, Pick and Pay, which are 19 and 21 respectively, Spa kind of looks cheap, actually.
Yeah.
And then they've also got the offshore business, but the offshore business is Ireland, okay, Switzerland, not so great, you know, so there's always something. They can never get it perfectly right, eh? I mean, while we're talking about retailers, Mr. Price reported, there's a funny old thing. They raised their interim dividend by 22%, obviously at the half results, and now they're cutting their final dividend by 6%, and that, unfortunately, is kind of one of Mr. Price's things, you know, nice dividend payer. Just generally speaking, local store sales were up 8.3%, non-South African stores up 3.8%, and online sales up 11.5%.
Oh, really?
Mm. And I think Mr. Price have got it back, because you remember last year we spoke about how they just got it wrong. Like, their clothing items were wrong, people weren't shopping there. They just got it wrong. As you do, you know, Woolworths got it wrong last year as well, like especially in the fashion lines. But Mr. Price seem back on track, basically.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll take an upswing. Yeah. That's very nice. If they're taking more dividends, that means they're making more profits, usually. All right. And then how much would I have to pay to have lunch with Warren Buffett?
Well, you'd have to pay more than $3.3 million. But that's you and seven friends.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I mean, so I could take my buddy Ben Sia and still have space for Anthea.
By the way, I'm not contributing to this money thing, right, because I don't have it.
Into the auction, right? He's going to do the auction.
Okay, as long as it's understood that I am not footing any of this.
Do you know how much
$3 million?
Do you know how much we'll make after we get advice from Warren Buffett?
Here's the catch.
He's not going to talk business.
The only thing you're not allowed to ask him is what he's going to invest in next.
Okay.
That's a bit of a downer, right?
So what do you want to talk to? We're going to talk about cars.
Tell me about Omaha, fashion. Nebraska.
And why you have McDonald's for breakfast every morning and still drink Coca-Cola even though you know it's bad for you. Why?
He's still alive and he's richer than us.
This is true. He's 80 odd years old, this man is.
Considerably richer than us.
Yeah, so that was an auction that they did. Previously, I think the highest was 3.5 million rand. Not by anonymous. The interesting thing, I think, in 2010...
Someone anonymous? Mm. They didn't even tell any... Imagine that. You go to lunch with Warren Buffett, but you don't tell anybody. I had lunch with someone the other day. Wink, wink, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You would tell people, right?
I had lunch with Warren... If I had $3.5 million to waste on having lunch with Warren Buffett, I would tell everybody.
very important phrasing there, Anthea. So you don't actually value his time. That's good.
Well, he's worth 82.5 billion US dollars.
Yeah, so what?
Do you know what is interesting? In 2010 and 2011, a guy called Ted Wessler, I don't know how to say his name, paid $2.5 million for each lunch, 2010 and 2011, now works for Warren Buffett.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh.
So it might be a way to get yourself hired.
Into Berkshire Hathaway. Not a bad thing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So if I had lunch with him, I'd probably sell him my business. That's what I would do. And then just go lie on an island or something. That would be the way to go. Who cares?
Right. About his so you next can't investment. Ask him what his next investment's going to be. That's the only thing you can't do. All right. Well, I don't know who's going to pay for that, but there's bound to be some idiot.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you very much, Anthea. There we go. That's the money shot. If you want to hear any of that again or you missed some part of it, then all you need to do is wait for the podcast, which will be up imminently. Anthea Gardner and the money shot.
This is CliffCentral.com.